job. All right. Yes. If you're taking notes, you might want to write this down because I'm going to say it twice, okay? Might be on the test later on. All right. Here it is. God gave his life for us so that he can give his life to us, that he might live his life through us. And I'll say that one more time. God gave his life for us so that he can give his life to us, that he might live his life through us. That last part is what I'd like to talk about today. So before I do, I think I better pray just for myself here. Father, what a privilege it is, first of all, to be called out of darkness into your marvelous light. Lord, as we examine the world around us, we recognize that certainly the time is growing short. We know that every generation has said that. But certainly, Lord, as we look at the things that are happening today, we recognize that you indeed are the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. You have all things in hand. We know that in the beginning, when you created your creation, you said, "It is good, Lord." We recognize that when we come into your presence, Lord, we just are strengthened by the power of your might. We stand in awe and wonder of all of the things, Lord, that you have created. But most of all, Lord, we are so thankful that you have given us, each one of us, a gift. And Lord, I pray that you would help us today to open our hearts, open our eyes, and see that that is there for the benefit of your body. And so, Lord, with that, we just submit ourselves to you. We ask that you would open the eyes of our understanding. Help us to recognize, Lord, what you have for each one of us today. And we're thankful for this opportunity, Lord. Just ask that you would enrich us. And we thank you, Lord, for your spirit. In the name of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, who has paid every penalty so that we might be set free. Thank you, Lord. All right. We are created in the image of God, and he shares his attributes with his creation. So, Genesis 1:27. Is on its way. Oh. All right. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Have you really allowed that to kind of sink in a little bit? Because there are certain attributes that we share with God. What do you think our greatest power is? Anybody want to venture a clue? Human beings, what's the greatest power that we have?
We can have faith.
Faith, okay.
We can love others.
All right.
Imagination.
Yep. All of those. However, our greatest power is the power to choose. We have free will. As a result of that free will, we also have responsibility. And so when I look at God's creation, not only those that are saved, but also those that are not saved, that is what opens my eyes. Because in the great judgment, I mean, think about this for a minute. How would you like to stand before the Lord and explain to him the gift that he gave you and what you did with it? Especially if you used it for yourself, maybe to get rich or maybe to enrich your popularity or something like that. I don't know about you, but you know, when I think about some of those things, I kind of cringe a little bit. But it also helps me understand why God is the God of all creation, especially all of the people that he has created. So we not only find this in Genesis 1:27. I won't bore you with all of these because I'm going to give you a bunch of verses today, but Genesis 9:6, we also find this. And in 2 Corinthians 4:4, we find this. Now, God exists as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if you think about us, now I exist as a father because I have a son. I'm also a son. I'm a husband. And I'm a brother. So all of those things exist in one. So when God says he's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I don't really have a big problem with that. But I think what happens a lot of times is we try to compartmentalize him. But if you think about us, it kind of helps us understand a little bit better. The other thing that's interesting is we exist. If God exists as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we exist as body, soul, and spirit. Now, if you think about our body, and let's take a look at 1 Thessalonians. That's where I'm getting that from. Now, may the God of peace sanctify entirely that you may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved complete until or without blame until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's think about our body. If you really think about this, what the Bible calls the flesh, we interpret our world with our five senses. So, what are our five senses? Eyes, ears, touch, okay, your tongue. I'm not going to stick my tongue out at you because it probably wouldn't be too cool. All right, taste, and smell. Okay, so that's how we interpret the physical world around us that God created. Now, if you think about our soul, body, soul, what's the soul made up of? There are three things that the soul's made up of. Anybody want to venture a guess? Pardon? Your emotions. All right. What do you think? Why do you think God gave us emotions? Okay, to have compassion. All right, we certainly feel those emotions, don't we? But if you think about the soul, how do we interpret the spiritual world? And to me, what the emotions are, you know, when you go to the tide pools, you know, those little, what do they call them, sea amenities or something like that? Those little things, you know, you just get this urge to get a stick, you know? You know what I'm talking about? Well, to me, all those little things around there, what are they doing? They're kind of picking up the environment around them. Well, how do we pick up the spiritual environment around us? Through our emotions. Because God says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Okay? So that's how we interpret the spiritual world. What else do we have in the soul? Choice as to whether, because we have a conscience. So our conscience is how we know right from wrong. And then the last one is we have a will. So we can choose to either serve God, I will serve God, or I will not serve God. So with our will, and that's where free will comes in, or the ability to choose comes in. So those three things are resident, and they help us understand what the spiritual world is all about, to interpret that. Now, if we're body, soul, spirit, why is the spirit so important? How would we know God if we didn't have a spirit? So how do we connect to God? You remember when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus and he was trying to explain to him what it meant to be born again? What do you think that, if you were to explain it, how would you explain it to somebody, being born again? Man, I've never heard so many crickets in my life. Say again. Okay. Sins are taken care of. All right. Good. What's that? Okay. Well, how about this? A lot of what Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about was the spiritual. I can tell you one thing. There's a lot more going on in the spiritual world than there is in this one. And it's a whole lot bigger from what I read in the Bible than this one here. So, here's my best explanation of what born again means. Your spirit and God's spirit connect. And what does the Bible say? It says that those who are His, He seals by His Spirit until the day of His coming. So, being born again means what? You are now connected to the spiritual world by His Spirit. All right? That's an important point because when we think about it, it's kind of, you know, some people get all spooked out about it, but if you think about it, I mean, if we're body, soul, and spirit, then that's how we operate. Okay? All right. The sealing of the Spirit, I'd like to take a look at just a couple of verses because it's, how many of you, when you're reading your scripture, I mean, does that mean anything to you when you run across some of these things? I don't know about for you, but when I'm reading scripture and I come across some of these things, it kind of makes me think, okay, well, what does that mean? Because obviously we're trying to interpret the spiritual world with what we know from this world. That's what the parables really are all about. So if we take a look at, did I give you 2 Corinthians 1:22? It's in the Bible, by the way, I can tell you that. As long as you don't do what I always do, go to 1 Corinthians when they say 2 Corinthians. All right, let's do this. Where you find the sealing is you find it in 2 Corinthians 1:22, in Ephesians 1:13, Ephesians 4:30, and in Jude 24. So, obviously, it's an important aspect of our makeup. Let's take a look at John 3:6. All right, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Okay? Let's think about that for a second. Because part of our dilemma here on this earth is we have this that we have to walk around in. So when you think about our mind, we have the mind that is where our feet are connected. But we also, as Colossians says, Colossians 1:27, I believe, it says, you have the mind of Christ. So we also have this heavenly mind or this spiritual mind, and that to me is where the dilemma comes in because we are physically here, but we're also, if you think about it, we're spiritually there. So, you know, it kind of creates a little bit of a dilemma for us. And that's why in the scripture, when you see the ones that say, keep your mind on Christ, keep your mind stayed on Him, okay? Because the other thing, and this is an important one, is it says that the peace that we have, where does that come from? Yeah, Jesus, what did Jesus say? It's a peace that the world cannot have. Only those who are mine can have that. Now think about this for a minute. How many times have you gone through an experience where everything around you was going nuts in the physical world, in your life? You know, I mean, your emotions got involved, all those types of things. But you felt that security or that peace in the midst of that. Has that ever happened to you? Okay. I don't know about you guys, but it's happened to me where, you know, I mean, just everything around is going nuts. But the cool thing is I can still feel that strength. You know, it says that your foot is on the rock. So even though the storm is boiling around you, you still feel that peace. And I don't know about you, but for me, that's the scorekeeper. Because when that peace starts to be disturbed, it tells me that I'm entertaining a wrong voice. Because He said, those who are mine will hear my voice, and those... But we also have to remember we're this flesh and we are spirit. So the spiritual world can speak to us. Okay. The Spirit gives life. The flesh, we know, is, well, I can tell you, as you get a little older, you begin to realize some things are starting to, I can see it already. Yeah. I hate to tell you this, we were born dead.
Yes.
We were just catching up with it. All right. Let's go to John 16:13. I'm going to kind of skip some of those other verses. I don't want to bore everybody with some of those. All right. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. Have you experienced that in your life? You know, I don't know about you, but that's one thing I love about Scripture, because it's really telling us in advance what's coming. The other thing that I like about Scripture is God's principles are there, and if you understand His principles, then you know how the universe works. So, I don't know about you, but that's the other thing that I like about Scripture. Have you noticed the contrast? You know, one of the things I like is the contrast, because sometimes if you can't see it in the positive thing, you can see it in the negative thing. I remember one time when I was, somebody I really respected, just out of the blue, Christian guy, attacks me, and I'm thinking, what is this all about? And unfortunately, this was the third time that it happened to me. And so I started to really question, what in the world is going on? And then I started to ask myself, what fruit of the Spirit was just demonstrated? But there was no fruit of the Spirit. So I went back, and the neat thing about Galatians is it tells you what the fruit of the flesh is. And when I started to read down through that, bingo. So, I hate to say this, but we can sometimes, as Christians, be in the flesh instead of in the Spirit. I'm sure that probably hasn't happened to you. It usually happens to me when I'm driving. What's that? Yeah, thank you, Jesus, for your, yeah. Okay, well, let's take a look at one of the problems. We've kind of talked about it already. Mark 14:38. All right, keep watching and praying that you may not come into temptation. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Okay, that's another thing I love about Scripture. Because when all of a sudden you feel like you're just being overwhelmed, the neat thing is you can change the subject. By the way, do you play the piano? Yeah. Okay. The reason I did that is because you had to stop thinking about everything else to do what? To answer the question, right? Well, in your spiritual walk, sometimes you're going to have to do that, because the enemy is constantly trying to get you, and usually through something that happened a long time ago. Have you ever noticed that? You're kind of driving down the road, your head goes into neutral, and what happens? What? You get your fishing pole out and try to go and fish. It says that God says, hey, I took all your sins and did what? Buried them in the deepest part of the sea. So why are you getting your fishing pole out and going back out there again? That's where you got to change the subject. Or, for some of you, just as you're getting ready to doze off, what happens? Some weird thing from the memory, from the past comes back. So what's happening? You're entertaining a voice that you shouldn't, that's trying to get you off track. So, you know what the enemy's game is, don't you? He's trying to get you in one of three places, and he does it through fear. When you think about fear, what does fear produce? What's the response? Fight, flight, or freeze? That's the whole purpose of fear, if you think about it. So if you begin to, in Philippians it talks about that. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And who should be the most thankful people on the face of the earth? But I got to tell you this, you only got two choices when it comes to that. It's either fear or faith. That's why I say when the fear starts to come in, that's where you got to change the subject. Otherwise, you're going to get beat up pretty good. So, let's go to Romans 8, 9. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Okay? Now, I've said all of this, really, to say what I would like to say, and that is this. Now, Chris last week was talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Now, there's a difference, obviously, between the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. So the gifts of the Spirit are these, the fruit of the Spirit. Anybody tell me what those are? Very nice. Okay. So now, what are... All right, well, this is really what I wanted to talk about today because I feel that, first of all, God has given a gift to everybody in this room. He is forming and shaping in you what He originally intended and created in the first place. Does that make sense? So when we come together as the body of Christ, then what happens is the demonstration of those gifts are there. And why do you think that those gifts are there for the church? All right, edify, what does that fancy word mean? To build us up? Okay, so to build us up in the most holy faith. Okay. Say again. Okay. How will the world know us unless, and what does the scripture say? You shall know them by the love they have one for the other. All right, the first fruit of the Spirit is love. That's what controls all the other ones. If you don't have, and Paul says in Corinthians 13, he says, if you don't have love, just a sounding gong. Now, when we look at the gifts, first of all, we have ministry gifts. And the ministry gifts are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. These gifts are given to the church for the edification, or the building up of the body of Christ. These gifts are given to us. Okay? And this is really what I want to talk about today. So if you could put 1 Corinthians 12 up. All right. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaks by the Spirit of God unless Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. All right, last week, remember... Pastor Chris was talking about the manifest. Okay? So the manifestation is, how is that presented? I'm sorry, go ahead and put that back up. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and another gift of healing by the one Spirit. And to another the effect of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also in Christ. I remember when I read about the body of Christ, and it talked about how all things kind of work in conjunction with each other. I don't know about you, but for me, and it still is to a certain extent, a mystery, because what makes it work is who is the head? Christ. And we are the body. So the body is designed to work in conjunction. Now, when you get ready to move your arm, do you have a conversation with yourself? And ask yourself, I wonder if that muscle is going to connect to that muscle, which this ligament has to do this to connect to that to be able to get the fingers to move so that I can. That's pretty involuntary, isn't it? When you think about it. Okay, well, that's really what's being talked about. Is the body of Christ should flow because it's all getting its direction from where? Okay, so when we think about the gifts of the Spirit, anybody have a thought on that? Did you like to volunteer? Okay, all right. Anybody else in that category? Okay. Another thing we have, we don't talk about it a lot, is we have a motivational gift. In other words, within us, we have a bent towards something. Okay? You may be a person who is black and white. There is no gray. Okay? You're probably a prophet. A prophet can smell sin 100 miles away. All right? So the prophet's black and white. You could be a person who God has gifted financially, and now you're trying to figure out how do you enrich the body of Christ with that gift. Or perhaps maybe you're one of those people that just loves making people feel comfortable. All right? That's called the gift of helps. So when you think about those gifts, those are really for the profit or for the benefit of the body of Christ. So one of the things that should happen is if you have decided to become a part of a body, there should be something that you're there for. You contribute something to the whole. And that's what the body of Christ is all about. Now, it's been my experience that whenever something comes up, it's usually always about the same six guys that show up to go out and cut the grass and cut the tree limbs and do the everything else. Now, obviously, there are other gifts that are in the body of Christ. So, think about this for a minute. When all of those are working together, what does that look like? Anybody experience that in Christendom? Yes. All right, how did that happen?
When everybody's flowing together.
Mm-hmm.
How by the Spirit.
Well, it's true, but what sort of an experience did you have where you were able to observe that? That's
building.
All right, so you were one of the originals that helped to put this building together. Big project, a lot of gifts have to be in operation to be able to do something like this. Okay? Anybody else? Any of you been part of a Christian camp? Okay. what generally happens at a camp. What's that? That's a very important part of a camp, yes. That's what draws people into the camp, is the roasting of the marshmallows, yes. When all of his people are contributing. How many of you have ever worked at a foster care camp? There's a couple of great programs. One of them is called Royal Family Kids. The other one is Teen Reach Adventure Camp for foster kids. Tell you what, the first time I went to the Teen Reach Camp, that's where I saw the gifts all having to come together for the purpose of glorifying the kids or helping the kids to trust. That's really what that camp is designed for, is to build trust in those kids. But to put that camp on, you have to have cooks, you have to have mentors, you have to have or counselors, you have to have relief counselors. If you have swimming, you have to have a lifeguard. Just to put the thing on and get everything ready, there's all sorts of things that have to be plugged in. You have to have electricity. You have to have people to lead the worship. They generally have some sort of teaching, so you have to have somebody there to teach. By the time you get done, there are, this last, I was at a camp about 3 weeks ago, 70 people. That is a thing to behold. Now, the other thing that's important when you're talking about the gifts is these are designed to bring glory to who? To God. Now, unfortunately, I have seen where someone was given the gift of healing, and now they were out trying to get a healing ministry put together. And unfortunately, there's a big misunderstanding of what these are all about. Now, God may use a person in that way, but it does not necessarily mean that that is your ministry. That's where we have to be careful. Because these gifts can be given to any one of us at any time. You know, you could be someplace, we don't see it a lot here because, you know, we're more sophisticated in our society than they are in some of these other third world countries. So I think sometimes they see them manifest a little bit more in some of those places because that's the only thing that can happen. I know Youth with a Mission, I don't know how many of you are familiar with them, but they'll send kids out for about 2 or 3 months. They'll come back, and some of those kids will tell you stories about where literally laid hands on people and they were healed. They didn't know that, and it may be only for that moment. And so that's the other thing about the gifts of the Spirit, because again, when we were talking about the Spirit of God is the one that's doing what all the time? Is building us up, is teaching us, is keeping us. We're sealed until the day of His coming. And so the Spirit of the living God is working through us. Now, the purpose of all of these is because when this is all working in operation, who's in trouble? What's that? Absolutely. So why is there so much division in the church about these things? Because somebody knows that when we're all in one accord, get out of the way, buddy. You're done. And I can tell you right now, that's what the world's waiting for, is when the church is the church. Now, we kind of got these broken into three different areas. The word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. Does anybody know what that is? We see it in different places in the scripture, but okay, first of all, what is knowledge? All right, it's a base of information that we have gathered together. Now, what would wisdom be? Say again? How do you? Okay, so that would be the impetus to make it work. Okay. Frequently, you find these two together. Now, how this one works is you could be talking to someone, and all of a sudden, you get this impression of this person when they were 6 years old with a teddy bear. And so you kind of share, I don't know what this is all about, but when you were 6 years old, you had this great teddy bear that was gone when he came home one day. And you've been brokenhearted ever since because your security got taken away. But is your security really in a teddy bear? So do you understand what I'm saying? Is things happen in our lives that we're not even aware are controlling the controls. And that's where this comes in. All right, discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits. Have you ever been on a plane, you're sitting, you're talking with somebody, and then when you get off, you know, you're talking about spiritual things, and when you get off, you think, something was weird about that. Then you find out that who you were talking to was a Jehovah's Witness, or a Mormon, or Christian Science. So what you were talking about is you were talking about spiritual things, but what you didn't know is all of the terms have been readjusted. So when you say Jesus, the Jesus they're talking about is totally different in their concept than yours. And so sometimes you can have a situation where discerning of spirits, or you can be around somebody, they have what they call familiar spirits. And again, I'm not saying this to do the woo-woo thing and all that, you know, thank God for the Spirit of God within us that gives us that discernment. But that's what that one's all about. Now, the power gifts are faith, gifts of healing, and working of miracles. So where would what would faith be? How would that gift be operated? Okay. Would it be safe to say that sometimes you have to be somebody's faith before they get there? In other words, you're speaking to them the words of life before they understand what the words of life are all about. God infuses you to be able to speak to them to help them understand what this is all about. How about the gift of healing? I think we understand that. This is what got my attention because years ago when I was playing softball, they had those non-breakaway bases, slid in and tore some cartilage in my knee, and unfortunately it would catch in the, well, I won't get into the graphics. Anyway, struggled with that for, I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years. And interestingly enough, an ear, nose, and throat specialist prayed for me. And bam. Got this warm feeling in my knee, and it was like, whoa. Healed, just like that. Working in miracles. What do you think that one is? That one's definitely got to come from the Spirit of God, doesn't it? Now, the early church, remember what was happening? One of the things I can think of that was a working or a miracle. Do you remember when Peter was coming into the temple and there at the corner where everybody could see this guy was a guy who was begging? Now, you remember what happened? He made a great statement. He said, "Silver and Peter said this. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, what did the guy do? Man, he went nuts. He was jumping and shouting and running around. But what made that so interesting is everybody had passed this guy for how many years? Now all of a sudden, is that? So, yes, that's the whole thing. And that, I hope that sticks in your heart because all of these are designed to bring glory to God. How will people know that God is unless they see him manifest through his people who have the what? His Spirit within them. That's how they're going to know. And it's not up to you. It's up to him. All we're supposed to do is keep ourselves available and yield to the Spirit of God. My thing is this. When you show up, God's got one more option. If you don't show up, okay, different kinds of tongues. Now, this one obviously has split the church in a whole bunch of different directions for a whole bunch of different reasons. But what do you think the purpose of this one is? I don't think we see it as much here, but in third world countries, I think it's a little bit more prevalent. And again, in Corinthians, what Paul was doing is he was correcting the imbalance of the use of these gifts. And this is one of them that was used, and unfortunately, it has been used in our society too, almost to the point where if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved, which is a very ridiculous statement because, first of all, who's the one that's controlling that statement? Man, it's not God. All right, interpretation of tongues. If God wants to give a message to the church, frequently that's how he does it. However, if there is no interpreter, you hear the tongue, but you don't hear the interpreter, it's not the real deal. The other problem that can occur with that one is you could have a couple of ladies or guys in the church who coordinate with each other for the purposes of what? Controlling things. Prophecy. Anybody? What is prophecy, by the way? Anybody got a good working definition? Anthony? Okay. So being able to look into the future. All right. So God kind of, how many of you are glad that God lets us have a glimpse of the future? I'll tell you what, man. When you see what's going on out there, I hope you read the end of the book. And then, you know, the cool thing is, it's all in God's hands anyway. You know, I'll tell you what, I am so happy that our sins are forgiven past, present, and future. Now, I don't know about you, but it's the future part that I'm really looking forward to. Because when I leave this place, well, the thing I'm looking for the most, no more sin forever. Gone. I mean, you know, I'm not going to drive my car 90 down the hill over here, you know, and kind of speed things up. But I am going to tell you this. I am glad. I don't know about you, man. When they start saying, the Koreans are going to throw the bomb and everything else, I'm saying where? Okay, and I don't mean that in a morbid way, but I think we need to think about those things. You know, thank you, Jesus. Now, the other thing that's important for us to recognize, you remember his last three words before he died on the cross? It is finished. Do you understand the importance of that phrase? What happened at that moment? Yeah. Here's the cool thing. Thank you for that. You're right. Here's the cool thing. What was stolen in the garden by the devil just got returned. Think about that. And that's why it says the devil has no power anymore over you. He was defeated totally at that point. He has no ownership over you. Now, if you don't have Christ in your life, yes, he does. But if you have Christ in your life, you don't have to listen to that garbage. He's going to try to He's going to try to do his three tricks. He's either going to tempt you, accuse you, or deceive you. All right? But the neat thing is, he's the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And when you let that sink in, that's why all glory, honor, praise, worship, everything else, because if we try to add even one little thing, that's an insult. Because he already paid the price for everything. Now, that doesn't mean we sit back and fold our arms and say, man, I'm waiting for heaven to come. Because we got some work to do, obviously. But the point that I wanted to make today is this. I think this is a big part of what we're missing today in the church. And so I would encourage you to spend a little time asking God, because I can tell you right now, every one of you have some major gift in your life that God has given you to operate to benefit not only his church, but also the society that you live in. That's what it's there for. And I can also tell you that that is going to be enhanced throughout forever. Work is not a four-letter word in heaven. It only is down here for some crazy reason. All right, so with that, think about it. I just want to make sure that we don't go to our grave with our music or our gift still in us. Okay? So hopefully we can share it. All right, I want to make a couple of quick announcements. JJ has a neighbor who could... How many of you have the gift of painting? Because JJ could definitely use that gift on Saturday. Saturday the 13th at 9 o'clock. And so you get big rewards in heaven. In fact, I think you get like a bigger window or something like that when you do things like this. So, in your mansion. Yes. Yeah, it's for the, he's got a neighbor that definitely is in great need. They have the paint, everything else. All you got to do, if you're a roller person, bring a roller. If you're a brush person, bring a brush. And if you're... Okay, so please contact JJ. No men's breakfast this month. We're going to start back up in September. So, go ahead.
His house is close to empty, and I'm looking at filling it now. But I have three bedrooms that have carpet that I'm working on, pulling the carpet out and putting wood laminate flooring in. And I bought a saw yesterday, and I'm actually doing the small room all by myself. But there's a 10 by 13 room and then a big room. And I got a bid to replace the flooring in the big room. It was going to be $3,000 for the flooring and the labor, so couldn't really afford that. So that's a project in the future. If anybody has extra time and wants to come and help put some flooring in, just reach out and let me know.
Okay. Remind us.
Oh, for those of you who don't know, Lucille's Home is a nonprofit, and its main resource is a transition home for single moms, and we call it His House.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
All right. Perfect. All right. So I would admonish you to examine yourself, make sure you're in the most holy faith, and recognize that God's more anxious for you to use your gift than you probably are. So, Father, thank you for...